Thank you again for your attention. And I'm going to ask for it one more time, because what I'd like to do now, we started a couple minutes early, just so that you guys could all understand why you're here at City Club. There are some new faces, and oftentimes we like to go through a list of who's here and why this room matters and why being here matters. But before we do that, I am going to ask everyone to, if you're able to stand up and say hi to, wait, let's do this in a second. Hang on. Say hi to someone that you either haven't met, or maybe you forget their name. Maybe you've met before. And let's do like a 30-second hello and what you do and why you're here. And you're going to walk away with a new friend. And you're going to realize that someone else in this room is doing something that matters just as you are. And then what I'm going to do when we get back is talk about who some of those folks are, so that you understand the importance of being in this room, because it really is an incredible group of people. So, ready, set, go. If you all could, please stand up. Say hello to someone that maybe you haven't met, but don't take too long, because we got to get started. Well, thank you. That worked out. I might try that again some other time. Hopefully you met somebody great. City Club is all about bringing you all together. And these are different sectors, different leaders from different sectors, even more importantly, emerging leaders and who we like to recognize and lift up here at City Club. So you may have met Dr. Mike, who is a CEO. We have a number of City Club speakers here. Dr. Mike, the CEO of Brookfield Zoo, or Nicole Benokin from 360, another City Club speaker, or Kimberly Bears from the Mag Mile Association. We've got some great City Club speakers who are all here. Rosa Escareño, the former superintendent of the Chicago Park District. Or you may have met Mary Ellen Karen from After School Matters. Aaron Ailman from CMAP. Let's see. And then we've got all these great nonprofit civic leaders. We have business leader, nonprofit and civic leaders. We have Christina Rice is here from Global Girls. Welcome back, Christina. Alyssa King, former public servant and major supporter of The Shed. We love having Alyssa in the room. Francie Harrington and Vern, where are you? I think I saw, there you go. They've done so much for the city. I'd like to call Joan a recovering public servant. Joan Coogan was also the Park District and helped get our city for so many years in the mayor's office and then in the Park District, keep our city moving forward. Thank you, Joan, for all of that. Graham Grady is here. Some business leaders, Hardy Bott. Also, you know, these public servants / business leaders, we exist at this intersection, right, of bringing together culture in business and government. So Jack Hartman is here. Cynthia McCaffrey is here. Just so many people. I mentioned Trish Rooney. She is here from our board. And Jamil Boussad is here. So just amazing people that I could do that all day. I won't, because we've got a great program. But it is important, because when we all come together, we all help each other move Chicago forward. And that's what City Club's all about. We up here don't have an agenda other than share this platform and move all of your agendas forward. So know that we're committed to that here. And by having a guest as amazing as Dr. Bridget Coggin, we are well on our way, and we've got so much more good to come. So thank you for indulging me in that little exercise, and please come back. And after the program, I'll share some of the programs that we have coming up, because it's going to be quite a fall. I'm surprised we're talking about that yet. So, all right, now I'm going to welcome our guest of honor. Dr. Bridget Coggin is the president and CEO of Shedd Aquarium, where she leads the iconic institution with a bold vision for its future. Since joining Shedd, she has launched the Centennial Commitment that I think you're going to hear a little bit about, a strategic plan to reimagine the whole aquarium experience, expand conservation science, and deepen community impact ahead of the 100th anniversary in 2030. Dr. Coggin also oversees the management of Shedd's $500 million endowment, including the launch of an ESG-focused private equity portfolio supporting environmental innovation. I think we're going to hear about a little bit of all of that, and then I'm also going to ask you all to think of a couple of questions, because if we get through that, she and I are going to sit down for a little chat in Q&A, and hopefully incorporate a question or two into that. So if you will, please join me in welcoming back to City Club Bridget Coghlan, Dr. Bridget Coghlan from the show. Thank you.
I do want that.
Great. There's that for you.
Too. Dan was asking, do you want the 2-inch platform to stand on? Yes, I'm short. And my comments might be short as well. I have an agenda, which is this. I hope you all learn something about your beloved aquarium and a few fun facts that you can take to the Cubs Brewers game tonight or the dinner table or your office, and that you renew your partnership with us. So I am Bridget Coghlan. I have the absolute privilege to represent an incredible, hardworking aquarium team. Many of them are here. We're all donned in our suits. But back at the aquarium, we have colleagues in wetsuits and scuba masks and lab coats and veterinarian hospital scrubs and brightly colored t-shirts to engage our guests and a couple of hard hats and bright fluorescent jackets. And at the boat down in Florida, our team has just returned in their rash guards from witnessing the August full moon and the coral spawning event that it creates. And in a couple hours, we're going to have some other colleagues put on life jackets and get in canoes and kayaks down south at Park 571 or up north at the Wild Mile and do an amazing conservation restoration program. But regardless of what suit me and my colleagues show up in, we have one common purpose, and that is our mission statement: to spark compassion, curiosity, and conservation, the three C's, the heart, the head, and the hands, for the aquatic animal world. But lately, I have not told my team this, so it's always good to surprise your team in public. But I had to give them a reason to show up. But lately, there is a fourth C that is really resonating with me, and I think of equal importance. So right now, and ever since 9 o'clock when we opened, Shed is going to welcome 6,000 guests. And some of them come in burkas, and some of them come with kippas, and some of them feel whole and centered and complete by using the pronouns they, them, and others are angry or mystified or don't understand that. And yet this mosaic of humanity right now, at this very moment, is electing to come together. And while we at the aquarium want, we say, look nature in the eye, we want to show them life beneath the waterline, I'm really hoping that they actually look at each other. And that's my fourth C, communion, communing. And when we started out our strategic plan, I had no level of appreciation of just how important that should be. So we are doing this work for everyone, and well, we better adjourn this to get back to help support those staff that are welcoming those 6,000 guests. So, meeting adjourned. No, just kidding. It is an exciting time to be here at City Club, a.k.a. where things happen. And in addition to these incredible partners, I want to call out the group of kind of One Shed by proxy. Much of the work that we are accomplishing with our centennial commitment is thanks to partners like Brown & Moman, Pepper Construction, JLL, VDT, the amazing architecture firm. It takes a village. Some of the emblems are up here, but it is a collective impact. We believe in Chicago, and we believe in what this will do for the aquatic world and for our city. So, let's talk a little bit about, it's hard to believe because of the flooding we've had, but it's an exciting time to be in Chicago. We are on the rebound. August 4th cranes citing that O'Hare Airport has broken all records with 115,000 people screened from TSA in one day. Delta announcing it is coming direct for the first time, LA to Chicago. And in some times, we are also going to become a climate haven. And fresh water is the reason for that. And again, it's hard to understand climate resiliency after all the flooding that we have had, but report after report says that this brilliant third coast, not the West Coast, not the East Coast, not inland United States, but the fresh water third coast, while still subject to climate change, will serve as a buffer for extreme weather, higher heat. And with this comes an amazing obligation and opportunity for all of us living here. To underscore the importance of fresh water, I want to do a fifth grade math problem with y'all. Earth is inappropriately named. If we could have named our planet by looking back at it from space, we would have called it Planet Water. But nonetheless, this blue marble that we share is 70% water. But only 1%, the far left, is accessible fresh water. That 1% holds 50% of all the fish species in the world. That 1% holds 10% of all life, terrestrial or aquatic, on life. 20%, here's the math problem, 20% of that 1% is in the Great Lakes. Phenomenal. Phenomenal. And with that biodiversity comes, I think, a risk of the biggest peril. So from 1970 to 2022, this is the diminution of biodiversity based on marine, terrestrial, or freshwater. And you see that while it holds 50% of all the fish and 10% of all life on Earth, it is suffering from the biggest diminution in biodiversity loss. This can be fixed. This can be reversed, but it's going to take a tremendous amount of effort to slow the decline and reverse the trend. You know it's important when Rosa Escanero is taking a photo of it with, I'll get you the slide deck, Rosa. Two things then are going to converge here. This is a watershed moment here. Two things are going to converge: Chicago's civic, cultural, and economic momentum, and the environmental and geological importance of the Great Lakes. That nexus is an opportunity for everyone in this room. That nexus is part of our centennial commitment. We buy nature, not just by environmental principles, but by longitudinal and latitudinal lines, have a bigger obligation to combat climate change than our peers. If we do this right, it can both propel economic strength for Chicago and simultaneously safeguard our planet. When we announced our centennial commitment back in 2022, we had a few things we wanted to do. Elevate the freshwater narrative, make sure that the aquarium wasn't just a destination, but a cause, a movement, that we could be here at Museum Campus, but there out in the communities of Chicago on the waterways, and then everywhere globally, that we could take this incredible story of water and the biodiversity of life it supports, and change just empathy into conservation action. We are well on our way to implementing this strategic plan, and it's my privilege to give you a few stories about it, a few updates, and then a few calls to action of how we need you all to help. Look at those penguins. So, the diversity of life and the diversity of water are inextricably linked now. They might be Amazonian turtles that like the warm freshwater, or the Bering wolf fish that likes the cold, salty water. But instead of now coming to the aquarium and just marveling at these animals that sometimes look like aliens that have been fostered through this incredible blue planet, we now, through a suite of programs, are allowing our guests to truly commune with the animals. Some of you did it at the water tasting station at the back of the room. We were easy on you. We only gave you a flight of 3 water samples, tasting the salinity of our blue planet. If you come to the aquarium, our education team makes it a little harder. 5 samples, 7 samples. What does the salinity of the ocean, a fun, visceral, simple 5 senses, actually teach us about something as geologically complex as climate change? This is a map of the salinity of the ocean. And if I would overlay a map of where the oceans are getting hotter faster, they would be indistinguishable. So through something as fun and seemingly whimsical as tasting waters from the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the St. Lawrence Seaway, where fresh water dumps into the ocean and becomes brackish, we can have meaningful conversations at human scale about the geological climate crisis and what people can do about it. We have all fallen in love with Chunkosaurus. But we are equally in love with over 150 fish that Shedd Aquarium has tagged that we can't see, that are migrating through the Chicago River and the waterways and telling us about what happens when city infrastructure is overwhelmed because of rainfall. What happens when we put green dye into the river? Here's the answer. Nothing. They don't like the sewage overflow, and they actually don't change their migration patterns at all on St. Patrick's Day. And I'm not just saying that because my name is Bridget Crowley Coughlin. We've gotten attention nationally. Good Morning America went on our Kayak for Conservation. This is a story not just about getting an urban center communing with nature, but about rewilding. Through an archipelago of floating wetlands and the Wild Mile there, we are giving something as simple as root structure for fish to lay their eggs, hidden spots for them to hatch, to come back to the Chicago River. This gives us hope. But it's not just a wish and a prayer and optimistic hope. It is data-driven, scientifically proven hope that if we take these conservation steps, if we give nature a chance, it will rebound. I want to flip a little bit from our local waterways to how we are inextricably linking our work at Shedd Aquarium with rewilding someplace as far as Raja Ampat, Indonesia. Through partnership with about 20 accredited aquariums, we are breeding. There is someone at Shedd Aquarium who keeps stud books of zebra sharks. She knows the genetic lineage of all the zebra sharks in accredited aquariums, and we are breeding them and planting 500 shark eggs into a shark sanctuary to rebound that nearly extinct population. Our animal care team at the aquarium, who knows about sharks, now rewilding. They're like aliens. I'm going to flip now, talk about our on-site part of the centennial commitment, a multi-year update of our historic galleries and an investment in animal well-being, animal welfare, the guest experience, and starting with the first build-out, which was our animal hospital, a chemistry lab, pathology lab. Fittingly, our penguins were the first to cross the threshold in our new animal hospital. But I want to tell you at an animal level what this new facility is doing. Meet Dolores. Dolores is a 22-year-old penguin, rather old by penguin standards. And she has a little bit of arthritis, and our veterinarian team was noticing that she was limping a little bit more. So I wanted to see the degree of her arthritis, and we had invested in a new hospital, including new hospital equipment and a CT scanner. And I was going to make Dr. Mike read the CT scan, because I'm a biochemist, but let me help you out. Dolores had 3 large follicles pointed out by those arrows that our CT scan in the new hospital is part of our centennial commitment. She was having follicles that were not developing as eggs, and she wasn't dropping the eggs. So Dolores not only needed a little adjustment of her arthritis medicine, but she actually needed birth control to help the reabsorption of these eggs, teaching us about the life cycle of these Magellanic penguins. Now, it wouldn't be an aquarium talk if we didn't, over lunch, talk about poop. In our molecular biology and genetics lab, we are doing DNA analysis on penguin poop, comparing the penguin poop from Patagonian penguins to our control group, the penguins at Shedd Aquarium who eat a controlled diet, so that we can help the fisheries management in Patagonia find out what those Patagonian penguins are eating. How can we protect those penguins in Patagonia by preserving their diet and managing the fisheries that supply their diet? This is Opus. Opus is one of our fabulous young belugas. He was born premature, and in that animal hospital, needed round-the-clock care, surfactants to help develop the lungs, a nebulizer to help him breathe, and we used the new equipment and the new hospital to help determine the level of scar tissue. The upper left there, you don't even have to be a clinician to know those are pretty clear, beautiful, developed lungs. And then Kimaloo, one of our adult belugas who had a cyst network that was encroaching on her blowhole. Belugas have a really imperfect evolution. They can only breathe through their blowholes, unlike us, who can breathe through their mouth and their nose. We successfully put Kimaloo under anesthesia, used the CT scan to map out where her cysts were, and removed them, restoring full breathing capability of that beautiful beluga. Flipping a little bit to the next phase of our construction. Last fall, we opened up a brand new accessible entrance. Beautiful access that really welcomes people in a way that makes them know that they are in someplace special because they are special. A new beautiful entrance and then gardens. While we are proud that we see 2 million guests every year, we know that millions more come to Museum Campus to simply experience this green oasis in the city. So we make hundreds of pounds of honey. Come, see it in action. Meet the pollinators. Do you know that we find tracks of deer and fox and raccoons? Come see what their imprint in our sand garden looks like. So experiential gardens, a welcoming entrance, and then new exhibits. We reopened the Amazon. This 220-pound arapaima came to Shedd Aquarium years ago as 6 inches as a confiscation from O'Hare Airport. Building in their built environment the biodiversity that the animals can thrive in, and again, connect humans to the animals in a much more intimate and direct way. And then our marquee experience, the wonder of water. Two habitats, a coral reef, which has 63 different species of coral, complemented by a freshwater reef, a rich botanic, full narrative of this blue planet. Throughout all the new experiences, whether they be on that kayak or in a school or in these new exhibits, our commitment to learning programs and inclusivity remains. All of our exhibits are bilingual, English and Spanish. And soon, at the end, so that all those things were open. At the end of 2026, so next year, you're all invited to the grand opening of our Morgridge Family Lakeside Learning Studio, a new vibrant space restoring architecturally the windows that have the most beautiful view of all of Chicago, but activated with a suite of new programs, which will include saltwater tasting or making of hagfish slime or radiographing a model to see that you too could be a veterinary clinician. And massive new experiences. Again, we see 2 million guests at Shedd Aquarium. 1 million of them are from outside Illinois. 1/4 of them are from Chicago, and 1/4 of them are from Illinois. We are both a local. When I said to everyone, have you come to Shedd Aquarium? Oh, on a field trip. We are both this massive tourist draw, driving about $400 million of economic value to the state of Illinois through tourism influx, and then everyone's third grade field trip. It is a wonderful, wonderful complement of audiences. A brand new kelp exhibit where we will really underscore that the most important part of water is not the 70% that covers it, but cubometrically how big it is. You are going to start at the top of the ocean, light-loving animals, a bright, vibrant kelp forest, and then you will go down the water column to deeper parts of the ocean until ultimately you land at the bottom of the seafloor. It is dark. There are fish with no eyes because you don't need eyes if you don't have any sunlight. To a whale fall, where we will talk about the carbon sequestration of the ocean. The solution to climate is the full globe. But pound for pound, plant by plant, mangroves sequester 20 times the amount of carbon than an Amazon forest. The carbon sequestration at the bottom of the ocean is part of this amazing cycle that we have the privilege of teaching our guests about. And you'll end your journey by walking through a massive 35-foot tunnel and ending with the most beautiful view of your city, Chicago. And to see what this construction looks like now, I'm going to show you this video. We're really, really proud of our crane, which Pepper Construction has named Bruce. This is on our north side, rebuilding the terrace. Think of this north terrace at the end of next year becoming Chicago's front porch, where you can sit and have conversations about what you have learned. The classrooms where we will be able to welcome far more students. Shedd Aquarium currently takes a wait list for field trips because we can't accommodate the requests. If I do nothing else in my career than get rid of the field trip wait list, I will be able to retire a happy person. I don't know if you're clapping for me to retire or I'm going to take the former. This is about more meaningful experiences for our guests, more impactful conversations about conservation, climate, the empowerment of what we can do when we do it together, about not having an aquarium be just an address on DuSable Lakeshore Drive, but being a movement. The fact that we have people talking about chunkosaurus, talking about fish migration, talking about how they potted a milkweed pot and saw a pollinator. That is the centennial commitment. We turn 100 in the year 2030. Shedd Aquarium is investing mightily in this plan because it's an investment in a city that we love and people that we think are the solution. I am eternally optimistic about what the Great Lakes can do for climate resiliency for our area and as a demonstration examples of many, many other cities. And I am confident in that because we have the data to prove it. We know better and we are doing better. And this is just the beginning of what you can expect from Shedd Aquarium long after the year 2030 as well. So with that, I do hope you have questions, comments, ideas about other hagfish slime activities we could do. And Dan, I know you want to have a conversation. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions, but I hope that the audience does as well. And I'm going to ask Caleb or Emily or who to come on up and grab a microphone whenever you got a minute. Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Do you mind just heading
of course
the room with that? Thank you, Bridget. Thank you for that. Feel free to grab this if you want. We've got about 10 minutes and microphones at work, right? And I'd like to just start off. You got a sense of who's in this room, right? We talked about philanthropy and business and everybody coming together. And this vision, this strategic plan came out of a global pandemic. Yet look at the progress you've made. How are you able to do that? And maybe I always talk about how Chicago is built on civic meets philanthropic meets business and everybody coming together to do the right thing for Chicago. You've had some pretty good success. You've got a big crane in the air that's at a time when we're not there aren't hundreds of cranes in the air. How have you been able to do that?
These three tables over here, as the pandemic was a great booster shot, an affirmation of this strategic plan, because of that fourth C that I spoke about. People wanted to commune and come together, and people wanted nature. We got cats and dogs in our home. We got a bunch of plants in our home. And as soon as we could get out of our home, we wanted to be with strangers. If we can harness that affinity intrinsically that we have for nature, that desire to come together, all of this will be successful. And I think that with the business community, we would talk, I'm going to be like hard pivot. We talk a lot about corporate social responsibility and ESG investments. Let's double-click on that for Chicago and think about water. The scarcity of fresh water, that is Chicago's secret sauce. I just called water secret sauce. That's kind of weird.
Not slime, right?
I mean, I think every corporation should have, you know, we think about our carbon footprint. Let's think about our water footprint. Let's think about it, the long term, about what Chicago should do with infrastructure, what companies should do for corporate social responsibility around the fact that we live on 20% of 1% of a limited commodity that's only available here in the Midwest.
There is one question, and it's from Amy Cowan, who I think is in the room. I'm going to grab this microphone.
Just yell Mimi, and we'll repeat it.
I was going to ask it. I know you pre-submitted, but if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Except my microphone doesn't.
Oh, here.
Okay. We'll get this right one of these days. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just thought maybe you'd want to ask it in person. So Mimi is from one of your fellow, thank you, one of your fellow institutions. Don't you love technology? She's at the Field Museum. You said you have Chicago's front porch. You share that with a few others, right? And it's an incredible group of museums in the park, especially. So Mimi asked, what do you see as the role for Chicago's cultural institutions in supporting a successful economy in the region?
Back to you.
That's such a good layup. Thank you. So besides the fresh water we have Museum Campus, We're going to have new leadership starting in October at Adler Planetarium. We have a bedrock neighbor in the Field Museum. Think about, I mean, we've got it all covered, right? Land, water, space. I was like, what's the other third one? Space. No other city has that, right? I just came back from a trip to London. Obviously, they have incredible museums. They don't have a collective. They're in different parks. They don't have critical mass. We sort of have this locus of, locus of control. That sounds negative, but it this idea that we are everyone's hometown cultural organizations collectively. I mean, we see way more people than all the sports together. I mean, the only way that would not be true at Soldier Field, by the way, is if like we had like back to back Taylor Swift and Beyonce, and then Messi coming to play soccer, right? Like this idea to be a pillar of education and an economic driver, and if we can turbocharge both of those, being an economic driver for tourists, but deepen our educational impact, and we're on a park, that is, you can design a better opportunity.
You remind me, Dr. Mike mentioned when he was here from the zoo, that their attendance was, I believe, is more than all the baseball games combined. If you were to go to Wrigley Field and possibly Sox Park, both together, incredible, right? If you were to take, you were talking about data. If you were to think a little more about data, and I know you're a scientist, what piece of data would you leave this room with that we might remember next time you're here or during the next speaker that about the shed, about the water, you know, maybe take your favorite piece of data and leave us with something to remember.
So if we collectively see 2 million guests a year, and each of those guests reduce their carbon footprint by 10%, that and their water footprint by 10%, that multiplier in aggregate is the same as planting hundreds and hundreds of acres of old growth forest. That, I mean, humans are a very carbon intensive species. If we just all diminish 2 million by 10% water, 10% carbon, it's hundreds of acres of old growth forest in aggregate. Just minor behavioral change, and that collective impact makes a big difference.
Going to work on my math, but it's the collective impact that I think is incredible that we can all be a part of. Okay, where do we have Caleb or a question out in the audience? One right back here, Francie.
Francie.
And Francie, if you could introduce yourself for those who don't know Francie.
Hi, Francie Harrington, long time engaged in civic life in Chicago and corporate life, and especially funding and investing in our cultural institutions. Bridget, how can we help? What do you need?
Oh, it's a great City Club question.
So, I'm not the one who thought of this, and I'm the person who absolutely loves it. We need, you know, it's a never done, never outdone. Like, we need to be obnoxiously proud and promoting of Chicago. I mean, good needs to be louder is what I say. Good needs to be louder. So host Thanksgiving and bring all your relatives to Chicago and tell them how great the city is. Go use Chicago, right? Go to the Field Museum. Go take in theater. Like, use Chicago. Be Chicago consumers and just be obnoxiously proud and promote Chicago. At work, on your business trip, to the guy sitting next to you on United Airlines. Like, where from? Chicago, me too. Where do you live? Isn't it great? Did you see the new Banksy exhibit? La 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 la. Like, you want people to be like, enough. There's lots of other things. Invest in the culturals. Be a mentor. Blah, blah, blah. I am just, like, rabid about Chicago. In a good way. Rabid in a good way.
I'm going to rip on that a little bit because there, you know, when you talked about Chicago for years, it was okay. It was Al Capone. I mean, people are talking now about Pope Leo, right? You talk about the weather and how cold it was, but now we're talking about how to get away from hurricanes and mudslides and wildfires. We are the center of the country. I believe that because of some of those things, especially that you've talked about with climate change around the country, around the world, that people are going to migrate back to Chicago. Is that something, I think you touched on it a bit, how do we manage that properly and protect that because of this incredible resource that we're sitting on, we're so fortunate to be sitting on, but also strategic, right? Because we're here for a reason. We understand how great this city is.
And this is something you can look up, not now, because that would be rude, but later, there are drug cartels in Mexico that are pivoting away from illegal drug trafficking to trying to govern water rights. This is not something that the water rights and the watershed, but my sons, my three boys, will absolutely inherit that protection and that love and that agency over this limited resource. And if we can connect them through the story of Chunkosaurus, our kids in Chicago need to have a relationship with the Chicago River, and they need to have a relationship with Lake Michigan and their backyard. Because they are going to be the ones who decide how it is used or misused, how it is loved or exploited. And so building that relationship with water, through animal stories, through water experiences. I mean, many, many of our Chicago youth have not touched Lake Michigan. Don't know if it's salty or cold or scary or safe. What shark is going to bite them? Let's stop it. Let's erase this water-human divide, this nature-human divide, especially here in Chicago, because of this incredible limited resource we have.
And you mentioned the river. I just met someone who's who's working for the swim. That's going to be the first time where we're going to have an official swim in the Chicago River. I remember many years ago when I was at the city how difficult it was to be able to get that approved. And here we are. Let's celebrate that and all these great things that are happening, because that is not that has not come without serious effort. Lots to celebrate. Does anyone else have a question? We have 1 minute, 2 minutes. Okay, because I do have two more pre-submitted questions. But Jack, I'll hand this to you, and if you don't mind making it quick,
can you give people an idea of what Moat Marine is as an association with the shed?
Jack,
Moat Marine.
Moat Marine. So there are a lot of organizations that have an aquarium and then a research endeavor or a sanctuary push. Monterey Bay Aquarium and Mimbari, for example. The Alaska Sea Life Center and the Sea Life Center Trust. Shedd Aquarium is all of it enveloped into one. We don't have a sister agency that does the research and then the aquarium part. It's all enveloped in one movement.
Great. Thank you for sharing all of that. And I actually think your team, where is... We did, before we closed, because I did put a couple minutes in there for this, we had the test in the back, and I believe we have a couple of winners.
Who here did the salinity test? Nice.
And if you didn't, you're going to have to go to the shed, buy a ticket, and do it there at the shed. So what I'm going to do is...
These are the winners. Not based on how well you did, just participation scores.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Well, you also get some swag from the shed, so stick around or see Johnny. Let's see. We've got Jody Boedeker. Hope I said that right. There's a bag back there. Beth Heller.
Woo!
There you go, from the Chicago River swim. That wasn't a setup. None of that. And then John Collins. John Collins, also in the back. So thank you. I think you'll get some neat stuff from the shed. Thank you, Dr. Bridget Coghlan, for coming, for sharing all of that, and for all your efforts at the Shed Aquarium.
I want to thank you all for coming, for caring, and do come visit. We've opened up great new galleries. We've got lots more to come at the end of next year, and let's link arms and keep this blue planet blue.
Thank you. I think we'll work on a city club field trip, maybe to Jasmine at the Shed. Before you all go, hope to see you back here soon. I'm going to mention some programs that we've got coming up. We've got the Inspector General Deb Witzberg on August 26th next week. Congressman Mike Quigley was in the news recently, August 28th. Uniting for a Cure on breast cancer research with a number of hospitals that are working together on September 2nd. How We Heal with the Kellogg Foundation and Joint Affinity Group, September 8th. This is going to be a busy month. The current state of immigration, yet another. I mean, look at the topics that we're talking about. That's on September 9th, Inside the Architectural Biennial, September 11th, Sheriff Tom Dart on the 23rd. And then we're going to talk about water again. That's with Commissioner Randy Connor from the Department of Water Management on September 30th. That's just a sampling. And by the way, that's sold out. A few of these are sold out. So up your memberships. You know, you get better seating. You get off the wait list faster. But we are so excited to be able to touch on all these topics and have amazing people like you join us here. Thank you so much. Thanks to you all for being here and making this City Club an incredible community. Have a great rest of your week.